Today we continue with our series of sermons on the parables of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I will read the text during the sermon itself. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Try to imagine this. President Bruss invites all of the faculty over to his house for the greatest meal ever. This is going to have hors d'oeuvres, appetizers of every kind you can think of. The main meal itself will be lobster tail and drawn butter and prime rib, and for desserts there'll be cakes and pies and flaming jubilee and all sorts of wonderful things. And so naturally, every single faculty member accepts the invitation to go to President Bruss's house for this wonderful banquet. But then something very strange happens. What happens is the day before the banquet is to take place, every single faculty member starts to back out. And so I pick up the phone and I call President Bruss and I say, you know, President Bruss, tomorrow is Thursday and Thursday is CSI on TV. And I am so tired of reruns all summer. I've just been looking forward to watching a new episode of CSI. So please excuse me, I can't possibly make it. And then Dean Shoup calls President Bruss and he says, you know, Kohl's is having a 3-day sale on Nike tennis shoes, and I've got a 30% off coupon, and I play noon ball, so please excuse me. And then Steve Riegels says, oh, President Bruss, I can't make it. Barnes & Noble is having some new books on rhetoric, and there may be one I don't have. I've got to check it out, so please excuse me. And then Adrian Lowe calls, and Adrian says, President Bruss, I would love to be there, but I have to put new strings on my viola, so I will not be able to attend. Now, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But listen to the words of our text here. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. So far, so good. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Now, that's just as lame. Would you buy a field sight unseen? Would you buy a field without first looking at it? Of course not. It's a terrible excuse. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Would you buy 5 yoke of oxen without first trying them out to make sure that they were strong and they could do the task at hand? It would be like buying a car without first test driving. Of course, that's a lame excuse. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. And you know, that's worse than the others. This was like a year-long process of engagement, of dowry, of gift exchange, bride price, a week-long ceremony. You can't take one day off to go to this banquet which has been prepared for you. Here in this parable, God is putting on the banquet. And the banquet is salvation. The banquet is eternal life with God in heaven. And those invited were those who were closest to the truth of God and of salvation, such as the Pharisees in Jesus' day. And yet the riches, the cares, the pleasures, the minutiae, the little insignificant trivia of everyday life somehow got in their way, and so they shoved aside this beautiful, wonderful gift which God had prepared for them. And God does not take this rejection lightly. I tell you, not one of those men who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. That's a strong warning, isn't it? Very, very strong warning. Is it possible we can become so nearsighted, just see the trivia of our mundane little lives as so important that we forget the goal of salvation? Can it be that even what we want to do with our free time, even what we want to do with our spare change, even what we need to do for our vocation may become our priority, and we soon forget about God? So what is President Bruss now going to do with all of the food that he has? Well, he calls his vice presidents, Ron Young and Steve Yeager, and he says, I want you to go throughout the dormitories on this campus and invite every single student over to my house for dinner. I want you to go to the men's dorm, to the women's dorm. Go to the old and to the younger. Go to the black and to the white. Go to the American and the Chinese, the A student, the F student. You go to every single student and tell them, they're coming over to my house for dinner. Won't that be great? But wait, there's still room. It's such a big house. There's so much food. Then he says to his vice presidents, I want you to go through the entire neighborhood. Go over to ISJ. Go down to Riverfront. Go in the alleys in the back roads. Tell everybody they're invited to my house. We return to the text. Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there still is room. Then the master told his servants, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. And that's as gracious as it gets. And it also makes perfect sense. There's not one of us that deserves eternal life because of our sinfulness. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and deserve death and damnation and hell. And yet, oh, how gracious is our God. Our Savior Jesus Christ has lived an absolutely flawless, perfect life for us. And he says, everybody can take credit for my life as if it were their own. So when they stand before the judgment scene of the throne of God, he can say, because of Jesus, his life, I accept your life. And not only that, but Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He spilt his blood. He paid for all of the sins of the people of the past and of the present and of the future. So salvation has been accomplished for every single person. And now everybody is invited to enjoy the benefits of salvation and eternal life with God. You know, there's bliss of plenty to go around to every man, woman, child on this planet. I love this text. I love this parable because of what it says to me personally. First of all, it says to me, do you have that invitation in the forepart of your mind, in your memory, in your hand? Have you imprinted it on your heart, that invitation? Think of how easy it is to reject that invitation, to let other things become so important that God is relegated to a secondary position and I forget about him. You know, I've had that invitation since the moment of my baptism when I was 2 weeks old. It's been mine all this time. Why would I reject it at the last minute? So it's a stern warning to me. I like that. I need that. But secondly, I especially like that salvation part where Jesus Christ has earned the price of admission for every person. I'm a person. He earned it for me. Therefore, salvation is mine. I get to go. That's the way I want to look at things, because that's the truth. And finally, I like this parable because it gives me focus and direction in my life. How could I possibly say thank you to God for saying, come over to my place. I've got eternal life just there for you. Oh, isn't it going to be great in heaven? How can I thank God for that? The best way I can think of is to go tell everybody they have the same invitation. I don't lose my invitation because you have one. In fact, the more the merrier. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian. I'm a servant of God, and I have the privilege of being able to tell other people, look at what Jesus has done for you. You are invited to the eternal mansions of heaven. So friends, you too have an engraved, personally delivered invitation sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ for salvation and eternal life. Let's all be there together. Amen.